ready? Let me tell you, is it going? Let me tell you very briefly what the order of events is, because I am not going to talk to you at all, basically. This is the dream of a lifetime. All right. I am first going to introduce Carol Channing. After she speaks, I'm going to introduce George Plimpton, who's going to speak to you very briefly about what vantage point to take in order to see the fireworks best, and perhaps to describe the aesthetic of the fireworks that he has planned for us. After George Plimpton has talked, he and Carol Channing will be up here, and we will have a species of receiving line, so that if you would like to meet them, please come forward at the time. Then there is going to be a brief pause, because it won't be quite dark enough at 9 o'clock for the fireworks. And as soon as it gets dark enough, the fireworks will go off. All right? As far as I can tell, about the worst thing about having had anything to do with Bennington College, aside from the dogs, is the fact that if you've been here for 5 minutes, people have perhaps 500 anecdotes about you. I actually know a few anecdotes about Carol Channing's stay here, and I do not plan to retail them to you this evening. Instead, I am simply going to introduce her, and I know you already know who she is. This is Carol Channing.
With all of you on this auspicious occasion. Oh, y'all look so young. And so many men. Well, anyway, honestly, isn't this all really something? I mean, all of us being back together again here in these Vermont hills. You know, this is quite a change for me. I bet this isn't working at all. Is it working? It's not working. No, back again. All right. Thank you. This is quite, it won't go on, but what difference does it make? It doesn't work. This is quite a change, you know, for me, from where I've been playing. I mean, like Broadway and television and London. And, you know, in London, the most exciting thing for me there was performing for the Queen at Buckingham Palace. It's called a command performance. You have to go. And after the show, the Queen has this charming little chat with you. It reminded me of so many visits I made to the White House for President Johnson. Only the Queen didn't show me where her gallbladder used to be. But, you know, I must confess that some of my friends on Broadway were quite perplexed and amazed that you had invited me to be here tonight in these intellectual surroundings. But, you see, they knew, you see, that some private colleges were in dire straits in these troubled times. But they didn't know that Bennington was this dire or this troubled. Anyway, this is the highest honor that I have received since it was announced that I had made President Nixon's hate list. Yeah, weren't you proud of me? you. That's my greatest achievement since I left Bennington. Well, you know, I know that there were, just about everybody was on that list. There was everybody from poor old Joe Namath, who doesn't even know who the president is. Yeah. To Arthur Schlesinger, who is one of our foremost thinkers of our day, and I think he was representing Harvard. I like to think that I was representing Bennington. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think even the Pope made that list. But there was also another list. It was a little bitty list. It was a teeny-tiny one of President Nixon's friends. And it was, it had two people on it, John Wayne and someone named Robert Vesco. Yeah. Oh, and I beg your pardon, there was a third one. It was President Nixon's brother, Donald. He made that list, but then I think he made both lists. But I am happy to report that things are looking up, and I do sleep better now that I know that there is a Bennington girl in the White House. Yes, that's right. We claim Betty Ford as one of us. And yes, well, you see, it was, she was here at Bennington while studying with Martha Graham at the Bennington Summer Dance Festival that was founded by Martha Hill. And it was that Summer Dance Festival that made me aware of this very fine institution. And at that time, you know, Bennington was coeducational. But if you will listen to the gossipers, you would think that we had as many men in our dormitories then, at the time, in our houses, as they have today, except that then they didn't pay tuition. That's what they said. Well, anyway. I, for one, do owe a great deal to both my college and my religion. Between Bennington and, you're just so lovely, I can hardly talk to you. Yeah. Yeah. Between Bennington and the Christian Science faith, I am excused for many indiscretions and shortcomings. Since you, dear graduates, you may find that sometimes you arrive at a place and you are not wearing exactly the right thing. I, for one, have a proclivity for always wearing the wrong thing. Well, you may hear somebody mumble, well, didn't she go to Bennington? Isn't that where they all went barefoot and wore blue jeans and all that? Actually, we old pioneers, we first classes, the old ones, we should get credit for being the world's first hippies. We were hippies before there ever was such a thing. That's what we were. So, also, dear graduates, you will find that if there is anything about you that is considered bizarre, and that maybe your lifestyle is not quite understood, don't let it daunt you. Just blame it onto Bennington. But just recently, for instance, someone said that they heard that the president of Bennington was a female, and what's more, she was openly living with the vice president, and on top of which, it was a man. Yeah. So, I was pleased to report to them that Mr. and Mrs. Parker were married. Well, naturally, if they're Mr. and Mrs. Parker, they're married. And that not only are they married, but they are continuing to live together, and they also work together. Now, how bizarre and far out can you get? Isn't it? Yeah. So, another question, dear graduates. or topic of conversation that you might often become confronted with is, now tell me, what class of Bennington exactly did you attend? What were you in? In other words, how old did you say you were? Well, I personally don't say. But you see, I can't get into it because I happen to be a Christian Scientist and we don't believe in birthdays. Isn't that a nice handy religion to have? That's right. If you're a Christian Scientist, you just forget your age. Well, come to think of it, I do know a few Catholic and Jewish girls who do the same thing. But with me, it's legal. But, you know, a lot of people think that we Christian Scientists don't approve of doctors. That's just not true. I adore Marcus Welby. Some of my best friends are doctors. We have them to our house for dinner all the time. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for doctors, except get sick. See, that is, we just don't believe in being sick. And sometimes it works. I can't remember the last time I was really, really ill. Well, the closest I came to it was my last flight from London to New York City. Not that it was such a rough trip. The other passengers seemed to enjoy it well enough. But for me, it was rough because they were showing Hello, Dolly with Barbara Streisand. Well, doesn't come off, does it? No. Well, another question that I am often asked is, how did you ever happen to get into the theater? Well, I wanted to go into the theater, but my parents wouldn't let me go near it until I first went to college, like so many of us. So I decided to go to Bennington, which I knew was in the lower left-hand corner of Vermont. On the map, it's always purple, you know. And so it gave me access to going to Broadway on weekends. Well, I am very grateful to Bennington, though, because to this day, well, they had us, each of us girls was expected to go out and get a job at whatever it was she was majoring in. For instance, Dotha Severns and Peggy Hepburn were science majors, so they went to Panama to look at bugs. And this was called our winter period, you know. It's now called a non-resident term. Is that what it is? Yeah. Well, and then Puff Harriman, she was a social studies major, so she went to Washington to pick at the White House. And since I was a drama dance major, you see, I would have been a drama dance major, but the drama teacher came from New England and the dance teacher came from the Middle West. So, as I say, since I was a drama dance major, I naturally hot-footed it to New York to get a job performing. Well, the biggest theatrical booking agency was, and it still is, the William Morris office. So I went straight away there and asked to speak with the president, a Mr. Abe Lastfogel. Now, Abe Lastfogel is a man who is known as having a touch of genius. And so he never saw anyone, excepting occasionally Clark Gable. And of course, Mrs. Lastfogel, he saw a lot of her. Well, somehow, by some mistake of his secretaries, there I was face to face with the great man himself. See, this rugged tycoon who could make or break anyone's career with a single bite on his cigar. Well, I swung right into my first number, something I was sure of because it was a big hit with the girls at Bennington. It was was also dearly loved by our music teacher, Otto Luening. It was a simple, ancient Gallic dirge. In obsolete Vercingetorix French. You know, Vers Saint-Jean, he was before all Gaul was hauled together. Yeah. Well, it was in 9/5 time. You know, something or 5/4 time. So that I had this little drum, you see, I beat on it. And it was adapted from the original Greek tragedy, Orestes. And this was the most thrilling part of the whole thing, the Orestes funeral chant. I remember how Mr. Lastfogel's eyes filled with wonderment. As I showed him how the women of the Greek chorus lamented the ravages of war and the shortage of men. Now, it doesn't come off. Yeah. Premier, le massacre des enfants, la mère en tout leur requier. Clair, plaît, regarde qui ai-je trompante. Well, Mr. Lastfogel. Fogel thought that I should do someone better known, like Sophie Tucker. Well, as I say, the man has a touch of genius. So I sensed that I was losing the great man's attention. So I said, no, wait, Mr. Lastfogel, I have another song here that the girls at Bennington just love. This was a favorite of Ben Bellett's, our beloved Ben Bellett. Oh, we love Ben Bellett. It was a Haitian corn grinding song. Rendered by the natives as they stomp out the kernels with their feet. They sing of their lost youth and pray for rain. Si è ti bobincare, o ti bobincare, ma se rodes ya vibra la zion. Oh. Well, Mr. Lastfogel thought that he could see some signs of improvement. But that perhaps it would be wiser for me to get out of ethnic music and into the straight classics, like Ethel Merman. Well, I said, now wait, Mr. Lastfogel, I have one more song here that I ran across in my studies on Middle European cultures. And before he was telling me, ushering me to the door and saying not to phone him, that he would phone me. And I said, no, wait. Well, as he was closing the door in my face, I sang, Given amol, 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 e glein de lande zizi yid yed shen ye. Wait, Mr. Lastfogel said. He said, I think I see a glimmer of talent in this girl. He said that his grandmother used to sing songs like this to him when he was a very little boy. And do you know that Abe Lastfogel and I have sung this song together to this day, and he's been my agent ever since. And we sing like this. Moshe Chaim on gekeben is best of Chaim, it's a given is Moshe Chaim Baruch Shmeel Chob, the kids are in their still zets, the Yidli Tam zets, and that's how I got into the theater. audition at the William Morris office, they sent me over to see Mark Blitzstein, who was he had composed a modern American opera called No for an Answer. So I auditioned for him, and I got the job. So I rushed back to Bennington, and here I will be forever grateful to the Bennington faculty, especially to those who were actually working in the professional theater, like Mary Jo Shelley and Arch Lauterer and Jose Limon. And they said, Carol, don't worry, you can always come back. You can, yes, they said, you get your experience while you can. Well, that was in 1940. Here I am, 35 years later, still getting my experience. And I know that it seems like a rather extended winter period, but that is what it is that I am on, and I am on my non-resident term. That's it. Yes. Yes. Now, those of you who are fortunate enough to be graduating today should not be disturbed by the headlines. There is always a recession or a depression or something. Because I well remember when I was trying to get started in the theater, everyone told me that the theater was dying. Well, I found out that the theater has been dying since mankind began. And they also told me that there were more actors out of work than there are in any other profession. But I decided that if I could live through Bennington, I could live through anything. Don't you feel the same way? Yes. So, I know that sometimes the work that you graduates have done has been criticized, and that there are times that you have felt that you were not really properly appreciated. I must confess that I still suffer from the slings and arrows of some of the things that were done to enlighten me here at Bennington as a student. But a year after I left Bennington, I was that eminent authority on the theater, Max Liebman, promptly fired me for having no talent. And all I could think at the time was, well, this is no worse than some of the things that have been told to me at Bennington College. So I was able to live through that. However, you know, I want you to know, though, that when these things happen, you do not commit suicide. No, you don't. You just believe in those who believed in you, like the Fergusons, the faculty members at Bennington. Those that did believe in you gave you guidance and patience and all that. And you must remember, too, that especially if you're in the arts, and perhaps also if you're in politics, I'm sure it's the same way, you have to be controversial. I well remember when Gentlemen Prefer Blondes opened on Broadway, and it had the blessings of all of the critics, and I thought, finally, at last, I'm on my way in Anita Loos's great classic, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Well, yes, Anita, yes. Well, she gave me this beautiful character. It is considered by many to be the great American novel, and I took this Miss Lorelei Lee, and do you know that the foremost female columnist put in the headlines of the Hearst papers, apparently gentlemen prefer Amazons. Yes, and then she went into the how I had desecrated Anita Loos's immortal character of Lorelei Lee, and how far my characterization came. Well, it left something to be desired. So you see, you just can't appeal to everyone. Well, all I can say to you graduates is that you will never please everybody, especially in the arts. So you just go out and do your own thing, as they say. Now, that is not such a difficult thing to do, because if you have anything at all to offer, you can't stop doing your own thing. It's beyond your own control and beyond your own understanding. You just keep doing it. What I mean is, if you can possibly be discouraged or sidetracked, you will be discouraged or sidetracked. You see, what Bennington does is it allows you to develop the thing that you, that is your solar plexus. And it lets you develop that, and then it gives you the floor and foundation and the wider horizon. It also forces you to widen the territories of that field, and it plunges you into things that you would never otherwise have the nerve to plunge into. What I'm trying to say is it removes the fear. And what I mean is the fear has, the Theater Guild, for instance, came to me and they said, well, we would like to offer you George Bernard Shaw. And I said, certainly, right away. I said, why, I did my thesis on George Bernard Shaw in Bennington. I even played St. Joan up there at Bennington. He's like an old friend. And so we plunged right into Pygmalion and the Millionaires, and we had a grand tour of all that. And I am still gleaning today from what I learned at Bennington, and it removed so much fear. Anyway, I must also tell you that I did want to say that I learned that every successful Broadway show has a basic theme or philosophy. Now, the basic theme or philosophy of, Hello Dolly, Thornton Wilder's Matchmaker, you know, it was adapted from that. Its theme is, money, you should pardon the expression, is like manure, it should be spread around. Yeah. Well, the basic theme of Anita Loos's Gentlemen Prefer Blondes is diamonds are girls' best friend. Yes. All good work is rewarded with diamonds. Ribbons, trophies, medals, flowers, all these wither and fade. But but diamonds are eternal. I'm not the only one who believes in this, Mama Gabor. You know, what a small world. Well, she raised three lovely daughters in this cult. We all know Zsa Zsa, Ava, Magda. Actually, these little girls are high priestesses in our great movement. And now we have this new recruit, little Liz Taylor, has joined our groupie. Yeah, she too has seen the light. Yeah, what I'm trying to tell you is I tell you about diamonds and I sing about diamonds, but these little girls are out doing the work. Yeah, there are all kinds of good work being done in the world today, not just what the little Gabor girls do. So tonight it is my privilege and honor to bestow my coveted Diamond Award for distinguished work done in the field of education by the Bennington faculty, past and present, in preparing us students for the future. And I also want to tell you that, oh, I should digress for just a moment. And I must tell you, oh, you mean I digressed already? Well, 3, 5, 6, 4. Oh, yes, here we are. What I wanted to tell you is that I wanted to tell you about the other notables who have received my coveted Diamond Awards. You see, I should explain to you that I am my own judge and jury about who should receive these things. Well, my first award went to Mrs. John F. Kennedy for Making America Chic, and then I, yes. And then I was able to give an award to Mrs. Lyndon Baines Johnson for Making America Beautiful. And then while we were playing in Washington, D.C., I was invited to a thing called Luncheon with the First Lady. And it was Mrs. Nixon. I said, you don't mean to say Mrs. Nixon wants me to be there to entertain her, and they checked and said, yes, she does. Well, I went, and I thought, now what can I give Mrs. Nixon a diamond award for? So I thought very hard, and I came up with for making friends all the way from China to Africa, which I thought was pretty good. So I gave her my award, and you know, I thought she was the sweetest woman. She was just lovely. She took the award, and she said, oh, isn't that nice? This I can keep. It was a diamond ring. And she said, this I can keep. I don't have to put it on the White House walls. I don't have to give it to the Smithsonian Institute. And I thought, isn't she a dear soul? Well, I loved her. A week later, the hate list came out. And it was in alphabetical order, so I was right up on top. Oh, I couldn't understand it. And everybody said, how did you make this list? So I said, well, I can't understand, except that maybe Mrs. Nixon brought the diamond home and the president had the ring appraised. Do you suppose that's what it is? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, you dear graduates, I hope that you have gathered from this somewhat disorganized dissertation, I trust what you graduates have experienced and learned here at Bennington College will help you as much as it helped me. You see, whenever I do get finished with this everlasting winter period that I have been on, or this non-resident term, I have every intention of returning to these hallowed hills. And yes, I do. And after all, you know, learning is a never-ending process, and I always want to be known as a Bennington girl. Good luck to every one of you. It's an honor to be here and talk with you.
Certainly, such a clear and inspired talk should be punctuated by something or other, and I think we have just the ticket. In about 15 minutes or so, we're going to have some fireworks out in this general direction. If you go too far out towards the little cliff there, you will be hoisted on your own petard, so to speak. So it is wise to say somewhat this side of the brink. These fireworks, since you heard that Bennington is in dire need, were not put up by the college itself, but by the undergraduates. They were coerced with sticks and Pam Morgan's dog, which is the size of a leopard. And they are responsible for these things, but I think that after Miss Channing's remarks, we really must think of them as a marvelous punctuation to a marvelous lady.